From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carol Van Dam. Looters and protesters appear to have taken control of Cairo. It's become so dangerous that citizens have begun boarding up their homes and arming themselves to protect against gangs of looters. The protesters are demanding that President Hosni Mubarak step down. NPR's Susanna George in Cairo says protesters are ignoring a citywide curfew and police have all but disappeared.
Military tanks have surrounded the square, the parliament, and the Ministry of Interior, government buildings that stand just to the southeast of Tahrir. So far, the military tanks moving into the square have received a hero's welcome. The protesters criticize the other arm of Egyptian security, the police, for using excessive force to quell earlier demonstrations. While Hosni Mubarak dissolved parliament and appointed a new prime minister and vice president, protesters say they will only be satisfied if Mubarak steps down. Susanna George, NPR News, Cairo.
Hundreds of people gathered outside the Egyptian embassy here in the nation's capital on Saturday. Matt Laszlo of member station WAMU reports the group came out in force to show its support for the anti-government protesters in Egypt.
That means down with Mubarak in Egyptian, and that sentiment pervaded the crowd, many of whom also carried signs accusing Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak of corruption. Sharif Eid, who has family in Egypt, says he came out for a simple reason.
Tried to show solidarity with my brothers and sisters in Egypt and my family out there and citizens of Egypt. Proud of them that they're actually speaking up against, dictatorship and oppression.
Many in the crowd also held signs accusing President Obama of supporting a dictator and asking his administration to stop sending aid to Egypt as long as Mubarak remains in power. For NPR News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
Relatives and supporters of Egyptian citizens protested in other American cities besides Washington. They gathered outside the United Nations complex in New York City and marched through downtown San Francisco in solidarity with the Egyptians. In Chicago, one man protesting in front of the Egyptian consulate's office there says Mubarak will go, if not today, then tomorrow. President Obama is calling for restraint in Egypt. He's also renewing his call for universal rights, such as freedom of the press and freedom of religion, as well as clear steps that pave the way to political reform in Egypt. The president met with national security advisors for an hour today to discuss the developments in Egypt. The State Department says it is not safe for Americans to be in Azerbaijan right now. It warns of a terrorist threat to Western targets there and urges American citizens already in the oil-rich former Soviet Republic to remain vigilant. It says the warning is based on terrorist threat information but did not elaborate. Two German trains, one a cargo train, the other a passenger train, crashed head-on. This is NPR. Five Somali pirates are to stand trial in South Korea, according to the South Korean Coast Guard. A Coast Guard officer says the pirates were put in detention on Sunday shortly after arriving at the airport in Seoul. The five were captured during a South Korean commando raid on a hijacked cargo ship in the Arabian Sea. The Coast Guard says the Somalis will be questioned for 10 days before they're handed over to South Korean prosecutors for an indictment. The commandos rescued the crew of the South Korean ship and killed eight pirates. Classical composer and electronic music pioneer Milton Babbitt has died. NPR's Sammy Yenigan has this appreciation of the 94-year-old composer.
Babbitt studied math at the University of Pennsylvania until he heard the work of Arnold Schoenberg. Schoenberg's method of 12-tone composition places equal importance on all 12 notes of the chromatic scale. This style became a focal point for Babbitt's own compositions. In an article famously titled, "Who Cares If You Listen?", Babbitt wrote that serious new music would appear to be for, of, and by specialists. His interest in electronic music led him to work with the Mark II synthesizer at the Columbia-Princeton Electronic Music Center. This is where he produced his influential piece, Composition for Synthesizer. Sammy Yenigan, NPR News.
Impressionist David Fry is dead. Fry was perhaps best remembered for his impersonation of President Richard Nixon. He died in Las Vegas at the age of 77. His sister Ruth Welch says Fry got his start by imitating neighbors in Brooklyn, New York, where they grew up. I'm Carol Van Dam, NPR News in Washington.